As the Lord might help us this morning, I would direct your thoughts to Isaiah, the chapter that we read together, Isaiah chapter 49, and we'll read verses 13 to the end of verse 16. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth. And break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people, and he will have mercy upon his afflicted. But Zion said, The Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee on the palms of my hand. Thy walls are continually before thee, before me. And the verse that is laid upon us in the context of that that we have read is verse 15. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. These words in this book of Isaiah and the prophecies that he spoke of that time, that they would go into captivity for their rebellion against the Lord, against his word, against his commandment, those sins against him. And yet, as we read in particular those chapters from Isaiah 40 onwards, those things spoken in those words of comfort to the Lord's people in that path that was before them. And those things spoken of concerning the Lord Jesus Christ in that work that he would do, in that coming to the Jews, to Israel, and then that spoken of that gospel going forth to the Gentiles. And throughout the scriptures we read of those things known from all eternity of Almighty God. And that this book, the Bible, the inspired word of God, yes, as the scriptures declare, thy word is truth. But much more, this word is a living word. And perhaps we look back in our lives when, yes, we may have known that there was such a book as the Bible, with some of us, but knowing nothing of those truths that were in it. Those things concerning the eternal purposes of Almighty God and the covenant of electing love and mercy with others, the bringing up in the house of the Lord under the sound of the truth, perhaps the reading in the home of the Word of God, the reading of it in worship services. And yet, what was this word to you, to me? But oh, what a mercy if you and I are amongst those who can trace out that work of salvation, that work of the new birth as the Lord spoke of it, of the wind blowing where it listeth, thou canst not tell the sound thereof, whither it goeth, whither it cometh. And so, that time appointed, as we read in the scriptures, of the opening of the heart of Lydia, in the case of the Philippian jailer, the shaking of the earth under his feet. But that time of bringing each one of his people into concern. What for? For the state of their never dying soul. The eternity that is before us each. And yes, as the scripture declares, our hearts are enmity to the things of God. No desire for those truths of the scripture. No beauty in him, no desire for the things of the Lord Jesus Christ as it concerns our never dying soul till that time of bringing us into that concern, our soul concern, and that realization that hell is real and that we justly deserve condemnation and eternal destruction. And yet, through that work of the Holy Spirit, a bringing to call upon that name, above every name, even that name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If not in those words and the reality of it, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And so as that work of grace has begun in the heart, in the soul, one born again, not of the flesh but of the Spirit, that work within, then a desire, a love to follow the Lord Jesus Christ in that walk without. And in it all, child of God, we may sing those words, but to know the reality of it, the Spirit must the work perform, for it is all of grace. And so as we are brought from nature's darkness into that marvellous light through that work of the new birth, and as Paul was brought to that place, and what, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Through that teaching of the Holy Spirit, we're brought to those places in that realization that we are not our own. We are bought with a price, even the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that following of him, that bringing of us to see what we are, and that bringing of us to cry unto him. And as we have those words in John, without me, ye can do nothing. And as that work of grace begun in the heart of the child of God, it may have been that there'd been that hearing of the warfare within. The new man of grace, that new creature in Christ Jesus, and the old man of sin, that old nature in us of self, proud, self-righteous self that would want to be something. That love of sin in our hearts that we, and the enemy of souls, Satan, who hates the things of Almighty God. And as we walked in this world, what did we know of Satan? Yes, we may have heard and known the name. But as we carried on in that love of this world, what was it? But where that work of grace has begun, oh, how that enemy of souls, even Satan, as we read, goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Mark the words, not whom he will devour, or who he will devour. A chain foe, yet a real foe. And so, the word of God, the scriptures of truth, through that teaching of the Holy Spirit, become a living word. And that in the Lord's purposes, those portions of his word, those promises that we sang of in the first hymn, that bringing of us to that leaning upon them, that pleading of them, as we are brought to those places in the pathway, through those trials, through those tribulations, as the Lord spoke to the disciples in the 16th of John. We'd read we often miss the beginning of that verse, 16th of John, verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you, the Lord speaking, that in me ye might have peace. And we would not digress, child of God, but the dear apostle speaks in the Philippians of that peace that passeth all understanding. And there is a peace. And we sing it, peace by his cross as Jesus made. And those times when the Lord draws near, peace be still, it is I, be not afraid. And we may not be able to put that peace into words, to describe it perhaps to others, but it is known in our soul, within us. That peace that passeth all understanding. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And in the Acts we read of that through much tribulation, the entering of the kingdom, the trying of our faith, the bringing of us to those places as we read here, but Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and the Lord hath forgotten me. And there are such places, are there not, child of God? Blind unbelief, losing sight of Jesus, being caught up with those thoughts of self, self-pity, or whatever it might be. And so, as we read perhaps particularly in the Psalms, of so our thoughts went to those words in Psalm 130, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice, let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. And that psalmist speaks then of that waiting upon the Lord. And dear child of God, these places that the Lord brings us to, in that bringing down of all that we would lean upon, that we might lean upon him and no other. And in recent years, perhaps it's been being brought more and more to the truth of those words, as we again read them in Isaiah, that he will not break the bruised reed. He will not break. He will not quench that smoking flax. We may come to those low places, but we are held, as we have in our consideration this morning, of that hand of Almighty God. As the Lord spoke whilst upon this earth in the 10th of John, speaking of himself as that good shepherd, my sheep hear my voice, I am known of them. They shall never perish, and none shall pluck from my hand. Oh, we may sing once in him forever. Another thing, is it not, to be brought to that reality of it? Can a mother, a woman, forget her sucking child? Yes, she may. But yet, I will not forget thee. Those low places, those depths, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, yet thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff to comfort me. Jonah, in his rebellion, and yet loved of the Lord, loved of the Lord. The unchanging love of Almighty God, the eternal love of Almighty God, and dear child of God, as we go on in that path, when we have that word in the 5th of Romans that speaks of that great love. Can't quite remember the beginning of the verse. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even die. But, despite what we are, despite the circumstance, that word here, but, God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That great love. And oh, as we look back in that way that the Lord has led us, do we not know something? We may sing it. Oh, the love of Christ to sinners. But when it's known in our heart, and if it's known in our heart, it is in that we love him because he first loved us. That our salvation from beginning to end is all of Almighty God, nothing of you, nothing of me, all of him, all of him. And the unchangeableness of Almighty God. And that word that speaks of that unchangeableness, the immutability, ever the same. Unchanging. His eternal purposes, unchanging. His love, unchanging. His faithfulness, unchanging. Oh, the fickleness of our hearts. Ever so could fall away, fall a thousand times a day, were not thy love free. Have we not proved it? Have we not proved it? So, the Lord here in our meditation, Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me and the Lord hath forgotten me. Just one more thought as we consider this verse. Dear Jacob, when his sons returned, Simeon now left in Egypt. Joseph sold into slavery by his brothers, and that deceiving of their father. And we would not cast stones. But when we think of that deceit of Jacob, yes, Jacob deceiver, to be called Israel the Prince. But that went on and on. And the scripture speaks that we have a heart that's deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And I believe the child of God is brought to know it, as the Lord teaches us in that path that he would have us to go, to bring down all that we would lean upon, bring us dependent upon him. And when they return, Jacob cries, all these things are against me. Cannot cast stones, can we? How guilty I am of judging the Lord by feeble sense, trying to work it all out myself. All these things are against me. Were they child of God? Are they child of God? Were they Jacob? Were they? and the impossibility of it as it might seem. Jacob brought to cry. It is enough, Joseph, my son, is yet alive. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? And we, whilst we think on these things of dear Naomi, Naomi, Ruth coming back to her land, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Lord hath dealt bitterly with me. And all that she'd spoken to her two daughter-in-laws about a son being raised up from her and to marry them. And yet, Naomi held Obed in her arms. The Lord overruling in all events in the lives of his people. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Oh, dear Sarah laughed. Could not believe it. Of those things that the angel spoke. And yet, we read how she held Isaac in her arms, and that joy of what the Lord had done for her expressed. The wonder, I've not thought to speak like this, but the wonder of what loving God. I will not forget thee. I will not forget thee. Can a mother, the Lord hath forsaken me and the Lord hath forgotten me, child of God? Jacob, did he forget you? No. Child of God, has he forgotten you? Has he forgotten me? No. No. And here, can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb and that bond between the mother, that child that she bore those months, and that child born, the newborn child, the drawing out the love to that child, that bond of love. And our thoughts went to that account that we read of Solomon and how the Lord asked him what he would want, what he would have, and he prayed for wisdom. And as you know, that time when those two women came to him, those harlots that they were, and one was delivered of a child and the other was not, and it would seem that they had swapped the children over and came before Solomon. And Solomon said about bringing a sword, and they brought the sword, and the king said, divide the living child in two and give half to the one and half to the other. And then we read of that love of the mother of that child. Can a mother forget her sucking child. Then spake the woman whose living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son, the compassion, the tender mercies. And she said, O my Lord, give her, the other woman, the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other said, slay it, divide it. And the king answered, give her the living child. In no wise slay, she is the mother thereof. Can a mother forget her sucking child? And we would not, again, as we thought upon these things, as we read in the second of Luke, as Simeon spoke to Mary of that sword that would pierce through her own heart also. And as she stood at the cross, all the disciples had forsaken, save John was there. And the Lord looked down and spoke to his mother. What must that have been to her? Can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yes, they may forget. And sadly, there are those occasions, perhaps through health or mental illness or whatever, where a mother does not care for her baby. Yes, they may. There may be those times when this will not be the case. But yet, saith the Lord, I will not forget thee. Personal, personal, yet I will not forget thee. And we read in the scriptures, and having loved them, he loved them unto the end. We have that precious promise, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Those promises of the Lord, that his people are brought to lean upon. That trusting in him, that laying of all at his dear feet. And it may be in those cries wrought out, Lord help me, Lord strengthen me, Lord keep me, Lord direct me. Those wrought out prayers heard in heaven above. And the Lord watching over. The Lord watching over his people. Think of those words in Psalm 121. Where the psalmist says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, and whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber nor sleep. Yet will I not forget thee. He that keepeth thee will neither slumber nor sleep. Lord is thy keeper, and shade on thy right hand. Sun shall not smite thee by day. He yet will I not forget thee. The Lord's eye ever upon his people. His ear ever open unto their cries. Call upon me in the day of trouble. and I will answer. And in Psalm 107, as it speaks of the pilgrimage of the Lord's people through this journey here below, we read those words of those places that they came into. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And that pathway that the Lord calls us to walk in, yes, those times, those thens, those whens, when the poor and needy have water, either thirsty, either Lord will provide that water for them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, deliver them out of their distresses, that bringing of them to their desired haven. Hearing those cries, yet will I not forget thee. For that ear of the Lord is ever open, that eye is ever upon his people. And those cries, we think of Peter sinking in the water, Lord, save me. Lifted him up. Yet will I not forget thee. And we have that. Sorry, let's go back to Psalm 121. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth forevermore. Yet will I not forget thee. No. But what do we read in Jeremiah? The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness have I drawn thee. The preciousness of the word of God, the preciousness of his promises. Again, personal, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Yet I will not forget thee. For I have loved thee with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And as we consider these things and the wonder of salvation, the wonder of the love of Almighty God, that unchanging love, as Paul writes of it in the 8th of Romans, that nothing will separate from that love of the Lord to his people. Did not dear Peter prove it? Lovest thou me more than these? Brought to that third time. Yea, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And that love of the Lord to Peter, to Samson, to you, to me. I think we said just now, but we may have sung his loving kindness, oh how great. But is this not in that faithfulness of the Lord to us? And dear child of God, those things in our lives known only between the Lord and ourselves, our soul and the Lord. But where does it bring us? The eternal God is thy refuge. Underneath are the everlasting arms. And those everlasting arms are underneath. None will ever fall below them of his people. No. As we spoke of Jonah and his rebellion. Dear Peter and his denial of the Lord. Those everlasting arms underneath. And what are those arms? Those arms of love and mercy. And that mercy that endureth forever. Yet will I not forget thee. And then, behold, take note, I have craven thee upon the palms of my hands, thy walls are continually before me. Yes, Almighty God, a spirit. But as the scripture speaks of the eyes and ears and mouth of the Lord, in that helping of our finite understanding, held in that hand of love and mercy. Each one, they shall never perish, as we spoke just now, and none shall pluck from that hand. The true church of Almighty God, built upon that rock, even the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Yes, in that warfare we may know something of the onslaughts of Satan, but he will never prevail. Yea, I've loved thee with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Hell by that hand. And the hands of the dear Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, who took into union with his divine nature our nature, walked upon this earth, came into this world to save sinners. He who laid down his life that he might take it again. He who is that one that Peter exhorts, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. All your care in providence and in grace, in those things of your soul, child of God, cast them upon him. For have we not proved it? His care for us, even bringing us thus far, bringing us here today in safety. And those arms, those hands of the Lord, as he came to the disciples who were gathered for fear of the Jews, the door locked in that room, and the Lord coming to them. Then said Jesus to them, and when he had so said, peace be unto you. When he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. And oh dear, Thomas, who was not present at that time, and in his, we would not cast stones, but oh, might it be that warning to us, in his unbelief, in his own strength, I will not believe except I see the print of the nails and his side. And the Lord coming, reach hither thy hands, reach hither thy hand, thrust it into my side. Be not faithless, only believing. Reach hither thy hand, and behold my finger, and behold my hand. Brought to bow the knee, my Lord and my God. And the Lord did not forget Thomas, child of God, did not forget Jonah, did not forget Samson, did not forget Peter, and will not forget any one of his people. Even you, me, dear tempest-tossed sinner. Yet will I not forget thee, craven in those hands. And we at times sing that hymn, dear heart, a man there is, a real man, with wounds still gaping wide, from which streams of blood once ran in hands and feet and side. This wondrous man of whom we tell is true, almighty God. He bought our souls with from death and hell the price, his own heart's blood. He who endured the cross, despised the shame, sat down at the right hand of the Father, who ever liveth to make intercession for us. Yet will I not forget thee. The Lord pardon those things we've said amiss, but might there be that for us to take home, ponder these things. That great love wherewith he loved us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Yet will I not forget thee. For the Lord has prayed for each one of his people to be with him where he is. Yet will I not forget thee. And oh dear tempest-tossed child of God, is it not that desire? Do we not know something of it? To be found on that day. Come thou blessed of the Lord. Enter the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Come, I will not forget thee. Amen.